Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Download that iHeartRadio app. You can listen to us or record with us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide across the continental United States, or, like I said, worldwide for sure. But we're panning everything on this show for you guys on this Sunday morning, which we are recording on Saturday. So if you guys don't want to hear us talk about the Saturday game, that's the only game that we will not be able to cover for you. But nonetheless, we are always here to aim to please our fans of Bud Light Baseball Brunch. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio. I am partaking in this venture in my mother-in-law's kitchen in upstate New York. We came up here over the weekend, and my mother-in-law watched the kids while me and my wife went to the hallowed halls of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Had a blast, had a great time. Always a pleasure to go to Cooperstown. I think it's my 7th or 8th time. Such a joy and an honor to be there. And someday I hope that my esteemed colleague and co-host here will venture the trip to Cooperstown, New York, because he has not been there before. Right. So he can no longer give me hell about not seeing The Godfather or any of those other mob movies. Without further ado, Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph?
I can still give you hell, but now you can give me hell for not being at the Baseball Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's kind of an egregious oversight on my part that I've never been up there. I've been to Cooperstown once. My son played baseball up there, but I didn't get a chance to go into the Hall of Fame at that point, and never made it back. So it's definitely something that I need to do. Maybe I'll rectify that this offseason. Because I know everyone that goes says it's such a wonderful place. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll get there one of these days.
Yeah, get there before, like, obviously we want October baseball. We want the Phillies to play in October, and not just in October. We want them to play deep into October, of course. But if I can highly recommend this, the city, the town is so quaint and beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's intimate. So you want to be able to enjoy walking through the town and not having to wear your heaviest parka.
No doubt about it. When I was there before, it was in August and it was hot.
Oh.
And we were sitting out watching baseball, young kids playing baseball. So it was a little warm, but yeah, the fall seems like a perfect time to visit. So yeah, when the Phils finish it up right after the parade, I'm there. I'm going. So.
Sounds great. Well, this first segment is brought to you by State Farm. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you could combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Avuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Avuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. And we're going to go ahead. Now, last week, we didn't give away tickets because we had pretty much like a myriad of a shotgun show. We think that today is a shotgun show, and it absolutely is. Last week was a little bit more pre-planned and designated for us to be able to knock it out of the ballpark for you guys. But with that being said, and I did say I was at the Baseball Hall of Fame on Saturday morning with my wife, and you walk through and there's so many like awesome exhibits that you get to see. And, you know, if you're a big baseball fan, you have to get up here and you have to check it out for yourself. But after we paid our respects to Harry Callis, which I texted you earlier about, Murph, there is a portion of the Hall of Fame in that area where it pays homage to every baseball movie that was ever created. So it was really cool. So I was like, you know what? Maybe we can do our favorite baseball movies, but why don't we just do the whole realm? How about we do our favorite sports movie, period? Okay. Yeah. All right. So that'll go for the three of us. I already know Sam. Sam is the replacements. You know, that's her favorite. No doubt about it. Shane Falco. So Murph, without further ado, I know you probably, did you put together a top five, or do I have your top one here?
Yeah, no. I can give you – I have a top five, but I'll hold off on that. I'll give you one on the list. I will say this. My favorite sports movie is a baseball movie, and it's – we've talked about it many, many times on this show. But out of all the sports movies, I mean, there's so many great dramatic sports movies, boxing and football and cycling and all kinds of great movies. But for me, it's a comedy, and it's a baseball, and I'll leave it at that. I won't reveal number one. But on my list – it's simply a great movie, and I got to put Rocky on the list. I know it's a cliche, and I know it's a Philadelphia thing, but Rocky is a definite top five sports movie of all time. So I'm putting Rocky on my top five list, and I'll reveal the other four coming up later in the show.
Sounds great. Now, on Happy Gilmore, he lives out in Ohio, so I pretty much, even though he does love to chime in on the show, that's my favorite. Field of Dreams is number one, and all the books, and they had like they actually have like a Field of Dreams section all to itself, and they play the trailer, and even then with the music, it just chokes you up because you already know what's going to happen at the end. It's such a phenomenal movie, and for those of us that grew up with the sport, with our dads, and we know how much it means, and we did, we paid respects to our fathers a couple weeks ago, and how much the game means to us and to our dads, and that movie, the end of it, I will never not cry. I will never not cry in my life when that scene comes about. So make sure you guys go to our social media platforms and get your answers in for that. In order to win, you must answer in the comment section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. Again, your favorite sports movie of all time does not have to be baseball. Now, without further ado, let's go out of the box and let's talk about our fighting Phils, who haven't exactly been fighting this last week. Murph, it's been a little bit of a rough spot for us since we were last together last Saturday, doing our broadcast in the morning together, and 2-4 in our last six games. The Office of Production has tailed off, specifically with being shut out twice in two of those losses. And Phillies are now sitting 9 games behind the Mets for as hot as they were. And yeah, obviously we were 12, 13 games behind the Mets at one point. We have gained some ground with the Mets kind of sputtering a little bit recently themselves. They haven't been as hot as they were. We kind of lost an opportunity to make up a little bit more ground in the division, like the Braves have, being 4 back and 2.5 out of the wild card. It's been a rough patch for the Phils this week.
Well, I'll say this. I think the Braves and the Phillies made up just about the same amount of ground. I think the Braves may have gained in one extra game during that particular stretch where both teams were really hot. They just started ahead of the Phillies, so they had a little bit of a jump start. But, it just goes to show you that the Phils are able to gain 4 or 5 games in a 2.5-3-week period. The season is far from over. The division is far from decided. The postseason is far from decided. We know that. There's over 90 games still to play in this season. So, they've missed a couple of opportunities. But here's the thing. I think it's important to note that the Mets and the Braves now are starting to play better competition that the Phillies have already played and are experiencing similar results that the Phillies experience. The Phils need to worry about themselves. They need to win the games that they're involved in. Last Friday night was a winnable game in San Diego. They lose it 1-0. They waste a pretty good performance from Aaron Nola. Those are the kind of games that you say to yourself, okay, we're going to lose games 7-2 from time to time, and you're going to win games 6-2 from time to time, but it's those ones that could go either way. You need to win more of those than lose them. And I don't think the Phils have done that this year yet. Certainly during the win streak, they were doing that, but I still don't think it's evened out yet. Hopefully it does. They've got to start winning those games. And if they do, they'll start winning 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4. And if you do that, you're going to start to close the gap.
Speaking of Friday night, real quick before I dive into the run sheet just a little bit here, the fact that, and I found this interesting, last night me and my wife, we got into Johnstown, New York, dropped the boys off and drove the hour over to Cooperstown, checked into the hotel, ran over to a bar, and we caught the end of the Stanley Cup final game. So we really didn't spend much time following the Phillies. Then I found out this morning that the only run in that game was Austin Nola off of Aaron Nola. I mean, that has to be the only time in Major League history where a 1-0 game ends with a sibling getting the RBI off of another sibling. I would imagine so, right?
It's funny you say that because I was entering the clubhouse today, and as I was coming up the hallway, Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler were chatting in the hallway, and I walked up to them and was, you know, going to excuse my way through, and Aaron was telling Zach, he said, yeah, and then Austin tells me that it's the only time in the modern era that one brother had the game-winning RBI off of another brother. So there you go. Yeah, the answer to that is yes, and my source is Aaron Nola. So, look, Aaron got him to ground out in his first at-bat, and they struck him out in his second at-bat, and then just left the pitch up in that third at-bat. Hosmer had doubled, a one-out double to start that inning, or your one out double, give Austin a lot of credit. It was his first hit against Aaron. I think he was 0-for-6 coming into that at bat, and Aaron just left the pitch up, and Austin was able to punch it into right field. And who knew at that point, you know, sixth inning, made it 1-0. Philly certainly had their chances. They left 10 guys on base last night. They were 0-for-8 and runners in scoring position. So, you know, Aaron pitched really well, and you know, like I said, they wasted it. It's unfortunate. But, they'll get back at it today with Zach Eflin on the hill and, see what they can do from here.
Now, see, I know I'm going to ad-lib a little bit off of the course that I wanted to take in this, because you're talking about Aaron Nola was talking to Zach Wheeler. And Zach Wheeler, again, having another fantastic season for the Phillies and Pinstripes. 16th in Major League Baseball in ERA. But Aaron Nola and Murph, I know you're probably sitting over there. You got a nice grin on your face because, you know, I've been rough on Nola during our year and a half together. Yeah. And you know, with good reason. My expectations for Nola as a first round pick, 7th overall, you know, a guy that came in here with high expectations. I mean, remember, his second start was the day after Cole Hamels threw a no hitter at Wrigley. That was his second. So, like, it was he was the heir apparent. He was the one that was going to take the throne from King Cole. And he has performed admirably during the course of his career. And outside of 2018, I've been waiting since 2018 for him to really elevate his level. And I think he's refound that form this season, Murph. It's been unbelievable, the numbers that he's put up. I had it on here. What happened to my run sheet? I think I lost it. But listen, if you want to go ahead, you can expunge on that. Let me grab the numbers for you real quick, but you can go ahead and talk a little bit about Aaron. I think coming up in a few weeks here, Murph, when we go ahead and we talk about all-stars on this roster, it's going to be three. It's going to be Bryce Harper, obviously. He's going to be voted in. I think Zach Wheeler is going to make it in. I know he's missed a couple starts here in the early going, but I think Aaron Nola is punching his ticket for sure, especially now he's got that ERA underneath 3.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, certainly all three are going to get consideration. Bryce is a lock. The two pitchers are going to get consideration. And, you know, we actually had this conversation in the booth yesterday. You know, who would you, if you could only take one, who would you take? And I think probably I would lean towards Wheeler at this point, but it's razor thin. I mean, Aaron Nola deserves to be an all-star. It'll come down to a numbers game in Major League Baseball, whether or not both pitchers from the Phils are able to make it, but certainly both are deserving. And that's not even a debate. He's been great. You know, it's funny. And you say you've been hard on Aaron Nola over the last couple of years, and that's a fair, it's okay, because the last two seasons, Aaron has not pitched up to his, what he would tell you are his expectations. And certainly, you know, late in the season, he's had his fair share of trouble. So, I don't think it's unfair to have been questioning whether or not Aaron Nola had taken a step back. But what I have always argued is he's taken a step back right up until he takes that step forward again. And I always believed that he would, and I think he has. And now, you know, he needs to do it in August and September as well. But I really believe he's turned the corner, and he will do it in August and September. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, Aaron Nola is going to have better career numbers than Cole Hamels as a Philly, and maybe even as a major league ball player. I think he's well on his way to passing most of what Cole has done already. Now, Cole has a World Series MVP. That's a big thing in his crown and well deserved. But Aaron Nola is right up there with Cole.
Yeah. Now, those numbers that I was talking about, Murph. So these are just some of the numbers that I was looking up and researching earlier. I had a lot of downtime today, between our broadcast. 20th in ERA, 3rd in WHIP, 4th in strikeouts, 2nd in WAR, 10th in strikeouts per 9
within the Phillies organization.
What's that?
Where are these numbers?
Oh no, this is MLB.com.
Okay, so is that this year? What you're telling us?
This is this year through last night.
I got you.
Yeah, 10th in strikeouts per nine, 4th in strikeouts, only 13 walks on the season, and 2nd in innings pitched. I mean, the guy's been a workhorse. It's, you know, I'll tell you what, I know we've talked about this over the last year and a half, and I've been the one that's tooted the numbers every single time we've talked about Aaron Nola, his numbers in September. And I've always said his second career worst month is June. And man, he has really shown up this month in a big way. And the Phillies have needed it because offensively, and I kind of want to get into this as well now. I kind of did this on Facebook the other night, and I'm a little bit disappointed in the early going with the production of Nick Castellanos. And I don't know what it is, Murph. Like, I know we've talked about this. There was a couple of times that he said something post game, where you sit there and you go, man, all right, maybe this is where he's going to turn the corner. I expect more energy out of him, more fire. I want to see him beat up a water cooler with his bat. I want to see him snap it over his leg or something like that. Do something to show me some sort of aggravation. I've seen some of that fire from him in previous stops along the way. Not saying I've seen him snap a bat over his leg or beat up a water cooler, but
yeah, I don't think that's in him. I don't think that's
his. God, I'm disappointed by that. I need to see some fire out of him, man, because like this guy right here, I know the ball player that is deep inside of him. I've seen it come out of him in other locations, and it's just been on base. Give him more of an opportunity. Maybe put Castellanos in the two hole in front of Harper, sees more fastballs in front of Harper, gets better pitches there because JT's not hitting as well in the five hole behind him. So they're not pitching to him as much. I mean, What's your feedback off this? What's your thought on it from someone that's on the inside?
Yeah, so here's what I would say. First of all, Nick Castellanos is about as an intense ball player as I've ever been around. So if you're not seeing fire coming across on the TV broadcast or whatever, that's just not it's not accurate. The guy is so intense. I mean, he's a little bit like Chase Utley in that he's just so within himself at all times that it's a little scary sometimes, to be quite honest with you.
As he said to John Kruk the one time, no doubt.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's a guy in that clubhouse that wants to win more than Nick Castellanos. I mean, they all want to win, but the guy has a passion for this game. Now, he'll be the first to tell you that what has happened so far this season has been a disappointment for him. This is not the ball player that he believes he is. It's certainly not the offensive ball player that he believes he is. And, you know, but that's baseball. And Rob Thompson has said it many times, and I tend to agree with him. Again, I always try as best I can to take a step back and not look at it in a microcosm, in a week or a 2 week period or a 3 week period or a month. The baseball season is long, really long. And you're going to have times where you're not swinging the bat well. Remember when folks thought that Kyle Schwarber was done and this was a bad move and this guy can't hit. And now all of a sudden Kyle's just fine, right? Nick is going to be fine. When the dust settles and the season is over, Nick is going to probably be right around 275, 280. He's going to probably have double-digit home runs at that point. He's probably going to have knocked in 75 runs. Is he an all-star caliber player this year? No, he's not. Could he have an all-star caliber second half? Absolutely. And would it shock me? No, it wouldn't, because that's the kind of player he is, right? He's going to figure it out. And I would tell you, I'm a little bit more concerned about JT Realmuto only because of the position that JT plays and the physicality that it takes to play catcher. You know, his defensive job is so difficult and he does it so well that he doesn't have the chance to spend on offense like the rest of the guys do. You know what I mean? Like catchers are, they're really split in time. So I'm a little bit more concerned that maybe JT will kind of stay where he is all season. But I'm not concerned about Nick Castellanos. I've watched him for too long. I know what kind of hitter he is. I know what kind of player he is and how seriously he takes what he does. So I think we just have to wait. And you know what? If he gets hot in July and August and carries his team for 6 weeks, we're all going to be jumping up and down and pretty excited about it.
Now, you said that nobody hates losing more than Nick Castellanos in that clubhouse. Well, nobody hates dirty windows more than our friends at Premier Window, because they are the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to the website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. Coming up in their second segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Phillies, and we're going to dive into around the league. But make sure you guys get in there. Your favorite sports movie, doesn't have to be baseball. Make sure you go to the board and get that in there right now, right here on 102.5 Fox.
The Gambler and the all-new Bally's Atlantic City want to put a grand in your...
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Welcome back here for a second segment on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are brought to you by the Ludlam Bar and Grill, which is fully renovated. Ludlam Hotel at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, the old La Costa. With a complete renovation finish, you will now see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering the freshest local seafood, cooked simple to ensure that flavor that already exists stays that way. The hotel is open year-round, and all guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags for all registered adults. Walking distance to everything, check out ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City. And speaking of the Ludlam Bar and Grill, we will be there Saturday, July 23rd. The Phillies play the Cubs that night at 6:05, so we will not be doing a show that Sunday down at Xfinity Live. But make sure those of you that love going to the shore, I'm not one of them, but I will be down there that day because we'll be doing broadcasts. But Murph and I will be on from 12 to noon that day on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, and you can stop by. No, Quimby's got us 12 to 1.
Oh, 12 to 1. Okay.
12 to 1.
You said 12 to noon.
I say 12 to noon? Yeah, I'm telling you, look at my cheeks right now. I'm sweating my rear end off in this kitchen. But yes, we are 12 to 1, and then Green Legion Radio will be there from 1 to 3 with Quimby, Diaz, Irving Fryer, Eagles legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer, and myself. I'll be pulling off 3 hours of radio that day. So make sure you guys come on down, stop by, get pictures and autographs with Murph for Irving Fryer. You can't beat that. It's a great combination. So we're going to have a lot of fun that day. And Super Sam Brady and Kyle / Nunnemaker, they'll be there. Sam, listen, you're behind the scenes. I love you. You're such a sweetheart. I'll remember to wrap the show up and bring you in at the end as well. But all right, Murph, let's talk a little bit about Bryce Harper. Okay. I want to talk about Bryce here because, he missed a few games. He wasn't in the lineup that second game of the doubleheader that Friday night, which I was a little surprised by, with the DH role. He did come in pinch hit duty, had a huge, huge game tying double there in the eighth inning. It didn't look like anything was bothering him at that point. And then the next day he's not in the lineup again. And we're kind of questioning what's going on. Out of lineup Sunday, day off Monday, out of lineup again on Tuesday. He had a blister on his hand. They're saying it was infected. I didn't think we were going to have him out of the lineup that long, but since he's come back, he's 2 of 11, through Friday night's game, two singles. The pop doesn't seem to be there right now. Is this just him cooling off, or is this blister bothering him a little bit more than we like to think?
I don't think it's the blister. I think that's behind him at this point. I think we've seen a couple pretty good left-handed pitchers over the last 2 days or a couple days, and I think that's part of it. 2 for 11 is not what we expect from Bryce Harper, right? We expect four for 11 with a couple doubles or whatever. But you know what? Talk to me in 11 more at bats and we'll see where we stand, because to me, Bryce Harper's as good of a hitter on the planet right now, and he's seeing the ball really well. It's, again, it's baseball. And, you know, you're going to, if you look at just small, you know, little snippets, we're going to be able to find everybody struggling from here and there. I think Bryce is going to be just fine. So wouldn't shock me if we leave San Diego and he's got 5 or 6 hits by the time we get out of here.
Yeah. And think about it too. I mean, if a team like the New York Yankees can score one run and get no hit in a 2-game span, obviously, things are going to go. It's ebbs and flows. And San Diego, man, they have good pitching. I mean, they've
great pitching. They have great pitching.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, when I went to bed on Thursday night, and it was they're losing 1-0 in the bottom of the third, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, Musgrove on the hill, like we're in trouble. I'm anticipating waking up the next morning to a no hitter ourselves, and the next thing you know, you put up a 6-spot against the guy that had at the time the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball. Pretty cool to see. But you know what's really cool to see, Murph? Mark Appel.
This is a
big time story. I want to go a little bit. I know you just said that you had him on the pregame show. Listen, man, the floor is yours. Go ahead and let's talk about his story.
Well, so for those folks that don't know, Mark Appel's story was the number one overall pick by the Houston Astros back in 2013. Highly touted prospect, very expected to make a quick rise through the Astros organization and be, you know, kind of their anchor starter for years and years to come. And for whatever reason, injury, a big part of it, he just never really kind of caught on in the Astros organization. You're talking about the number one overall pick, you know, 1-1, and he's a big kid. He throws hard and he had all the tools. But you know, again, baseball, and he just couldn't figure it out. And after a while, he struggled and he didn't advance in the Astros organization. And then he began, I forget when he made the move over to the Phils organization.
Ken Giles trade.
There you go. So part of the Ken Giles trade. And I remember when the Phils acquired him thinking, oh, hey, you know what? Maybe a change of scenery and a new organization. But it was more of the same, really, in the Phils organization. He struggled with injury. He struggled in general. And he decided to give up baseball. He retired from baseball without ever making the major leagues. He was home for about 6 months, started thinking about the game again. He said when he retired, he just wasn't enjoying it anymore. He said it was a grind. His shoulder was bothering him every time he threw. He was in pain. He was unhappy. And it just wasn't fun anymore. But he missed it after those 6 months. So he called the Phils organization and said, what if I tried to come back? Phils welcomed him back. And over the last couple of years, he has made himself into a terrific pitcher. It took a little while. This season, kind of a breakout season for him. He has been outstanding down at the Lehigh Valley. And last night, he got word that he was coming to the big leagues. 30 years old, former number one overall pick, making his major league debut at age 30 in the big leagues. The moment he steps out onto a field, making his major league debut. I asked him today if he hoped he got into tonight's game. He said, well, you know, obviously I can't wait to get out there and pitch, but I really hope that Eflin goes 9 and shoves tonight and I don't have to get out there, you know, or none of us have to get out there. So he's got such a great perspective. He talked about this getting called up for him is gravy. He said, cause he's at peace with where his life has gone. He was called the biggest bust in baseball history. There was a lot of negativity surrounding him for a long time and he took it all to heart. But he made peace with all of that. And he said, look, I just enjoy going and playing at AAA every day. The fact that I get to play baseball every day is a blessing. I love the guys I play with. I love going to the ballpark. I haven't had this feeling in a long time. So he said, so getting called up is just like, you know, it's icing on the cake for him. And sure, he's so excited to be here and hopefully he can stick and pitch well. But at the end of the day, it's just one additional special moment in what has been a pretty special comeback for Mark Appel. So it's a great story. It's a great story. He's a humble guy. He's a very likable guy. And man, he throws hard. He throws up upwards of 98. He's got 4 pitches and, he can be a force out of the bullpen. So I'm anxious to see him pitch for sure.
You know, it's funny. I couldn't help to, but while you were talking there, Murph, and I never like making anything about myself, but like in a way, I can kind of relate to him in that context. It's like you know, you grow up, you dream about becoming a Major League Baseball player, and you know, it doesn't happen. You're kind of okay with it that you're never going to make it to the major leagues. That was kind of me, like, you know, with doing this, you know, with doing a show, like you kind of get stuck in your ways and you get to a certain point in your life and you're like, man, like, you know, it never happened, but it's okay. I'm okay with it. I'm in a good spot in my life. And then at some point along the line, you know, you get your break. And it's like, you know, next thing I know, I'm doing a show with you. And, you know, that's
sorry. It'll happen for you, man.
No. You'd never have to apologize to me for that. You know, like, but you get my point, though. It's like, you know, you kind of get stuck in your ways and it's like, wow. All right. And then all of a sudden an opportunity just falls into your lap and you're like, let me go ahead and run with it. He's got that chance now. And I really hope that this isn't just because of Connor Brogdon, you know, testing positive for COVID. And this is a long-term opportunity for him. And like you said, it didn't work out as a starting pitcher for him. It turned out that his opportunity was in the bullpen. And we've seen that happen. And listen, this is like, I'm sitting there and, you know, like I said, in Cooperstown, I'm at the Hall of Fame today, and I'm not comparing anybody to anybody else, but Mariano Rivera, they tried making him a starter at the beginning of his career. And then he found his way into the bullpen. Eric Gagne, 84 consecutive saves in Major League Baseball, the longest record ever. And for a reliever, and he was started out as a starter. Sometimes you find your way elsewhere. Ryan Madsen, you know, Bridge to Lynch.
If you can pitch, you're going to start as a starter. You know, that's just the way it works. And then, as you mentioned, you know, you filter your way and you find, you know, it's the Peter principle. You hit your top limit and that's where you are. And sometimes it's a middle reliever in the big leagues. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you're a closer, you know, the setup guy, whatever. I will say this. Mark Appel was stretched out earlier in the season. Then they put him into the back end of the bullpen where he closed games for the Lehigh Valley and was very effective. They had begun stretching him back out. Because they kind of anticipated perhaps that the big league club would need a little extra length at some point. So he is capable of going a couple extra innings if he were to get in a game. So it remains to be seen how Rod Thompson decides to use going
forward. Right, absolutely. And then, you know, kind of around the league here real quick, Murph. And Friday night was a big night for Freddie Freeman, for him and his family. He you know, he got shocked by the Matt Olson trade a few months ago, like pretty much the first week out of the lockout. They go ahead, they trade for Matt Olson. He has pretty much nowhere else to go. And listen, I'm not crying for him because he wound up getting a really good deal from the Dodgers.
All right.
And then, you know, hey, he's going to the Dodgers. I mean, the perennial National League champion favorites every year. So I don't feel bad for him in that context, but I will say this. That was beautiful. If you're a fan of the game, and I've seen a lot of people say, oh, it's a little too much. It's a bit over the top.
Okay.
He's not an actor. He's not faking tears. Okay. That was as real and authentic as you're going to get from any professional athlete. And you've been in this line of business for a long time, Murph, and you've seen a lot of guys come and go with the Phillies and with other teams and being a broadcaster in this town for as long as you have been. And I'm hard pressed to find anybody that was that emotional about coming back to Philadelphia. I know Chase loved his time here. I know Jimmy loved his time here, but Shane loved his time here, but man, none of them spilled their guts out and their emotions quite like Freddie Freeman did. And that was just a beautiful scene in Atlanta. I couldn't get enough of it. Perennial Philly killer Freddie Freeman, and I'm sitting there getting welled up watching him get his World Series ring and his moment in the sun.
Yeah, you said that perfectly. I mean, anyone that thinks that these guys don't I have to remind people of this all the time. These guys are just regular guys. They're just regular people who happen to play baseball well. And they have emotions and they have feelings and they have problems and they have everything that we all have, right? Maybe they have a little bit more money for sure, right?
A little bit. You know, I don't know what your bank account looks like, but I'm sure it's more than mine.
But the point is, that doesn't mean that they don't care, and that they don't feel, and that they don't have emotions. And what we saw with Freddie Freeman was so genuine and real. You can't help. First of all, he's a great guy. You can't help but applaud him for laying that out there. I think about Mike Schmidt when he retired and his inability to keep it together. And, you know, and again, back then people were like, oh, yeah, what a cry.
Brian
Dawkins,
when he came back to Philadelphia, the guy couldn't come out to the field for warmups.
Exactly. And what's wrong with that? That's why we love these guys. That's why we go and see them and pay money to watch them play, because they're passionate about what they do. They're passionate for the cities that, you know, not everybody is. So when you get a guy that is, man, oh, man, celebrate that. All right. I mean, embrace that. It's so great and so real. I loved it. I totally agree with you. Anyone that thinks it was too much, turn us off. Don't listen to us, because I don't even want to talk to you, because that's a ridiculous statement. Absolutely ridiculous. So,
you know what's not ridiculous? Traveling with the Green Legion. It's so much fun to do it every single season.
But in a good way.
It's a different kind of ridiculousness when you're actually there dealing with all the shenanigans that the Green Legion does. And you want to make sure that you sign up for trips this season with us. Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston, all on the schedule. We're going to go to the Swamp. We're going to go down to D.C. and see Carson Wentz and the commodes and all the disaster that is right there at FedEx Field. Just make sure you're not walking underneath one of the septic pipes, because you might get a pre-prompt shower for sure. Make sure you guys head to our website, greenlegion.com, or call the office at 215-666-5940. That's greenlegion.com or 215-666-5940. Also, keep in mind, too, we're looking for more sponsors here in Bud Light Baseball Brunch and Green Legion Radio. So make sure you guys go ahead and email quimby@greenlegion.com and go ahead and put in for today. It's not just if you're a sponsor for the Bud Light Baseball Brunch, you're not just a sponsor for us, you're a sponsor for all of Green Legion Radio. Right. You'll be a part of all of our platforms, which include Unhappy Gilmore Show, Green Legion Radio, The Players Show, The Pregame Show, Ice the Shorts, Winter Sports, whenever that comes back. Diaz, we got to get on top of that for sure. But it's everything. And in our swimsuit calendar, we're actually right now taking inquiries to make sure you guys get in, not you guys physically, but make sure we get the girls that are going to be lining up for the 2023 Green Legion calendar, Philly's finest. So make sure you guys sign up for that as well. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports, the Gamblers, is Bud Light Baseball Brunch, and we'll be right back for our finals. And we're back here for the last segment on this Sunday morning from 11 to noon on 102.5 Fox Sports, the Gambler, iHeartRadio, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, alongside my co-host and partner in crime, Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy, and we're bringing all of the alacrity here for you on this Sunday morning, as we'd love to talk baseball. I'm telling you, it's always a blast. I'm glad we could get this in this week. You know, there was a little bit there where I wasn't sure if we were going to get it in, but we are dedicated here. Even those of us that are up past certain times of the night everybody else is sleeping. But let's go ahead. Let's give away these tickets, Murph. Two tickets for the Phillies Braves this Thursday, 6:05. Aaron Nola's pitching. He's the probable pitcher. And I'm pumping up Aaron Nola, which means he's probably going to give up seven earned in two innings pitch. And I'm just looking at history here, You know, when we talk good, bad things happen. When we talk bad, good things happen. So, you know, maybe we need more negative sack. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
I don't know either. All right. So we're giving them away top five sports movies of all time.
So why don't you give me your top five real quick, and then I'll read off our contestants here.
All right. I already told you about Rocky, because I think it has to be in the top five. It's not my top one, but certainly believe it's in the top five.
Is that five?
I guess I would put that at four on my list. So number five would be Slapshot. Slapshot is number five on my top five list. Great movie. I wanted to get a different sport in there other than, you know, the normal sport. It's, you know, hockey, and it's my era as well. So Slapshot's hysterical. It's lived on. So Slapshot's number five. Number four would be Hoosiers. Great flick. You know, predictable at the end, but whatever.
I think you just said Rocky was four, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Rocky four. Hoosiers would be three.
Hoosiers three. There we go. All right. So I'm noon to noon, and you are
yes,
two number fours.
I'm two fours. So, and then Number two then would be Field of Dreams. You already talked about it. You know, you can't not watch it when it's on. And when movies like that, you know, it's a top one of all time. And the number one for me, just because it makes me laugh every single time I watch it, and I use lines from it all the time, Major League. It's my favorite baseball movie. I know it's not, you know, a cinematic classic, but I love it. And it, you know, only Major League One. The rest of them stink. But Major League, the original, was a great movie. So I put that as my number one.
Hey, if we got anything out of the second one, though, is you don't have marbles.
Yeah, I couldn't even name a line from the second one, to be honest with you. So there.
It was Randy Quaid too, right? He was great as the negative fan. That's me.
I saw it once, maybe. I don't know. But it doesn't compare to the first. That's all I know.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Our five contestants here, none of them are on your list.
Okay.
All right. So we have The Big Lebowski.
Good movie.
Bull Durham.
Great movie.
Tin Cup.
Great movie.
Rudy.
Good movie.
Happy Gilmore.
Really good movie.
I'm going Happy Gilmore here.
I would go... out of those, I think I would go. Who was the second one again?
Bull Durham.
I think I'd go Bull Durham. Yeah.
All right. So, Sam, we're going to have to go to a tiebreaker here. Sam, I'm going to need you. I'm going to pull you into the room here real quick. I know you're more dolled up than I am right now, so I don't want to hear it. Or you could just pop it up on the screen.
I'm not dolled up. All right. What are my two choices?
Bull Durham or Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore.
Bull Durham.
Nice. Bull Durham. Okay, sounds great. So, baseball show, Sam, Sam, who's well? Listen, here's the thing. I've been pining for years for a sequel for Happy Gilmore, and the one good thing, actually, two good things came from the pandemic, and one of them's not me coming out of it alive after my stint with blood clots. So, the one is the fact that Major League Baseball went back to the MLB on Fox theme. They got rid of using the NFL on Fox theme.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Maybe it was me bitching and moaning all those years on Twitter, asking them to bring it back. But they finally did in the pandemic World Series. The second one is the fact that we're going to get a second Happy Gilmore.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
It is coming.
They've committed to it. Yep. Right. Yep.
I will absolutely. Look, I love Happy Gilmore. I told you, it's a really good movie. I enjoy it. I love Tin Cup, too, in terms of, you know, man, you can throw Caddyshack in there in terms of golf movies. I probably should have put that in my top five. But, you know, so a lot of great golf movies. But Bull Durham. I mean, that's an American classic, too. You gotta admit.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. But Happy Gilmore gets me laughing every single time. And I quote that movie verbatim. So let's get to our picks, Murph. We have 5 minutes left in this program, so we got to be a little bit fast with it. You went 1-1-1, our first push of the season last week. But you got 2 points by hitting the underdog Yankees, which is a complete and absolute steal. Your push was over 8 in Dodgers Cleveland with a 7-1 final. Overall, you're 9-15 on the season with 12 points.
Oof.
I had another 1-2 week back to back. I hit the under in KC Oakland, a 2-0 game, and I told you 7 was a little too low.
Yeah.
So that gets me to 12-12 on the season, 16 points total. So Murph, give me your first pick. What do we got?
All right, over under my first pick. This is your Sunday games: Dodgers versus Braves. The over under is 8.5. Gonsolin and Strider, two really good pitchers. I think 8.5 is a little high, so I'm taking the under. Dodgers and the Braves.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. So I'm going to go with the Yankees as my pick. -162. Rebound to split the series with the Astros. They've lost the last two. They're due, man. I said it earlier. One run in the last 2 days. They were no hit. Actually, I'll save that for my can you believe it? And Nestor Cortez, I believe his last outing was a little bit rough. I got a rebound against the Astros tomorrow, which is second one.
Yeah. All right. I like the Yankees too. All right. Marlins. +124 over the Mets on Sunday. I have no reason for this other than I'm going to try and will it into existence by saying it out loud. The Marlins beat the Mets.
I tried that last week.
Yeah, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Well, I'm going to try it, and we'll see how it goes. So Marlins over the Mets, they're my underdog pick this week.
Congrats to Suzanne Traynor, by the way, the one that mentioned Bull Durham. I will send you those two tickets. I hope you enjoy the game. Man. Phillies Braves. So. Congratulations for sure. Mine, Murph, I got a high dog here. +176.
Wow.
The Baltimore Orioles looking to sweep the White Sox in Chicago. Winners of four in a row for the first time this season. They've won seven out of the last 10. They're steadily creeping into that wild card race in the American League. Give me the Orioles, but plus 176. I'll take them.
All right. That's so good play. I'll see that. Okay. Finally, for me, my favorite this week, the Rays over the Pirates. The Rays are minus 150, and Irishman Shane McClanahan on the hill for Tampa. And, you know, I just like saying that. So I'm taking the Rays to beat the Pirates. I mean, come on. Yeah. Chances are they're going to. So I'll just take them. That's my reasoning.
Big walk-off win on Saturday. And listen, anything Irish, I'm sure you want to go ahead and you want to get into on that. So my last pick, under 9.5, Blue Jays Brewers. Berrios versus Chichi Gonzalez, probably one of the best names. 13 combined on Friday, 9 combined on Saturday, due for an under so in this series. So I'm going to go that route. We got 2 minutes left here. So do we want to just talk about the week ahead instead of doing our Can You Believe It?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's a big week ahead, right? You know, you finish up here in San Diego, come back a day off, thankfully, on Monday, although I understand it's going to be raining back in Philadelphia on Monday, which is a shame because it's 75 and sunny here every day and you kind of get used to it. But that said, then it's a 9-game homestand and you've got the Cardinals coming in. You got the Braves coming in, and then you got the Nats coming in, right? So two tough teams to start. You know, you got Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado coming to town, and then obviously we know all about the Braves. And then, you know, you hope that you can continue your dominance over the Nats, but certainly you can't look past those first two teams. It's a big homestand for the Phillies. They're going to need the bats to be swinging. You know, I have a ton of confidence in the starting pitching right now for the Phillies. I feel like every time out, our five guys, and I think you can throw Ranger into that mix now. I think our five guys give this team a chance to win almost every night. And when a baseball team's doing that, you're going to win a lot more than you lose. So I feel really confident about that. We just need to get the bats going. And, you know, they're going to face some tough pitching when the Cardinals come to town, when the Braves come to town. So you just got to hope that your guys are the ones taking advantage of the mistakes and not their guys, right? Because every pitcher is going to make a couple of mistakes. It's just a matter of taking advantage of them at that point.
I'm starting to get worried here with the way you keep talking about San Diego, Murph, because I think someday on Bud Light Baseball Brunch, I'm going to have to talk about introducing San Diego Padres broadcaster Greg Murphy.
No, that won't happen unless the Phillies tell me they don't want me. I'm not going anywhere. However, it's a beautiful place to visit. If you've never been here, I know you have.
I haven't been yet. That's one of them. That's one of them. Have.
Okay. Great ballpark, great city, great weather. I mean, it's no secret. I guess you'd even get tired of this if you lived out here from time to time. But when you're only here for a couple of days, it's certainly nice. It really is. But, you know, they don't even have a tarp here, I don't think. That's how good it is. So not too shabby.
Soak it in, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your trip. Safe travels home on our end in the home front here for Super Sam Brady.
Thank you, Sam.
Greg Murphy, Slash is going to be slashing us up on Sunday morning for us. I'm Chris Sack, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Let's go, Phillies. Let's go ahead and take the rest of this trip. Make it a good one. Let's come home. Let's protect home field right here at Citizens Bank Park.